It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. And you can also find us on your radio dial at ESPN New Hampshire Radio 900 and 1250 AM up there in the Granite State and streaming live on ESPNNewHampshireRadio.com, ESPNNHRadio.com. The Celtics essentially fall to themselves 118-93 in the land of Donald Trump's new home.
Ooh.
Maybe just as big of a surprise to Celtics fans everywhere, the way that this team is not performing with, yes, some injuries. We're going to talk about it tonight. Certainly, are we going to chalk it up and give them some excuses? Obviously, the Al Horford injury, a big issue for this team, and not advancing through concussion protocol, making all of us nervous after being such a high-profile free agent acquisition this summer. I'm Justin Poulin. I'm going to be with you for the next 90 minutes. We are going to be taking your calls and breaking down the game. And joining me is co-host Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio. Nick, I know you have got a whole lot of rant in you tonight.
Ugh. I'll tell you what, Justin. I was ready to join the protesters that are all over the United States right now. Chalk up this game, shut it down, go out on the street and protest how badly the Celtics are playing right now, because it's almost intolerable to watch.
It is. It's 100% intolerable to watch. This is something that we saw last year, especially early on, where the Celtics would fall in the first quarter down large deficits. And yet, after a slow start to the season and working out the front court rotation, they were finding a way to climb back into games. And the third quarter was big, big output. Close that deficit, and then close the game. And despite Marcus Smart's best efforts in that third quarter tonight, they really didn't make a dent, because Otto Porter looked like the second coming of Michael Jordan, and defensively even putting on a show. It was really crazy. And yeah. So we'll put that aside. Then the other transition that happened last year was they were getting out to hot starts. They corrected that, and then they were falling flat in the third quarter. And I was really hoping, and I know we've talked about it before, Nick, but I was really hoping that this team was going to benefit from one small substitution in the starting lineup, which was we're packaging Jared Sullinger off. He's headed up north to Toronto. And, you know, I know that the immigration site for Canada broke down yesterday as the early results were coming in from the election. But we send him off. You know, they haven't built a wall in Canada yet. And we bring in Al Horford, and Al is supposed to be a major upgrade. It's supposed to be the smoothest start to a season we've seen since the end of the KG and Paul Pierce era. And yet this beginning of the season looks a whole lot like last year.
It does. Obviously the injuries, the front court is a mess. The rebounding is a mess. The defense, Justin. And, you know, we could talk about Sully going, but he's not, obviously not doing anything for Toronto right now anyway. The Horford concussion not responding is a major concern. I mean, we could keep going and going, and I think I've kept my cool through the first several games. Tonight I had just about had it all day long. I'm looking forward to getting away from the election BS, watch the Celtics win in D.C., and this is what they showed up with. It was a lack of intensity from the coach to the 12th man. I think I messaged you that. And I believe, I mean, I'm not criticizing Brad Stevens, but dude, you got to get off the bench and rail into these guys when they're playing with zero heart. And I think that one of the hallmarks of this Celtics, this era of Celtics basketball is hustle, heart, intensity, and fire. They keep scrapping regardless of who's injured and who they're playing against. And right now, we are not seeing it. They look like a deer in headlights.
Oh, yeah, they definitely do. But the rebounding is by far the biggest concern. And you look at Avery Bradley, he's given them double-digit rebounds in the last few games. And I'm fine. If it's about the scheme, and the scheme is to pull away from the basket and let the guards crash, while they are undersized guards, they are also incredibly athletic. And some, you know, if you take the top three guards and you throw Smart in there, even though he runs a whole lot of small forward minutes, but you go Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Marcus Smart, that's a pretty strong guard trio right down to the sixth man, and they're all pretty athletic. And even though, to the point, they're undersized, if the scheme is to space it out and they crash the boards, hey, it's fine. Also, something that we used to see in the Doc Rivers era, if they're going to get back on defense and allow for, you know, them not to crash the boards for offensive rebounds, that's also fine. But when you see the utter lack of effort to box out and positional rebounding, I'm not talking even effort rebounding, I'm saying simply being in the right position and not allowing the opponent to get into the right position. You look at somebody like Amir Johnson. He's never been a career rebounder. He's only had one season in his lifetime where he's averaged more than 7 rebounds per game. So we're not expecting double-doubles out of Amir Johnson. But I am, at this point in his career, expecting him to get his butt and his back into the right position in the paint so that Otto Porter doesn't come flying in for yet another offensive rebound. You look at the numbers tonight, the Celtics with 24 total rebounds. Guess how many just offensive rebounds the Washington Wizards had? 19.
They out-rebounded us by the Celtics by 30, didn't they? I mean, total rebounding differential was 30.
Yep.
30.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, that's just a lack of effort. When you're tied for number one rebounding for the game is your 5'9" point guard. That's sad.
That's sad.
Tight. And your number two is Kelly Olynyk, who's clearly rusty and just coming off an injury. But why can't 7-foot Tyler Zeller grab more than two boards? Why, Justin, I think I heard you and John talking about it on Monday on Celtic Stuff Live. Why is Tyler Zeller still in the starting lineup?
Yeah, I don't understand why Jerebko isn't filling that spot. I understand why they didn't roll out Kelly Olynyk to start in this game.
Sure.
And Kelly struggled from three-point land. He's front-rimming a lot of shots, but that should be expected.
Right.
He hasn't played. He didn't play in the preseason. He's been recovering from the shoulder surgery and recuperation all offseason, and he probably had the surgery a little bit later than we would all have liked. But this is the deal. All he needs to do is get his legs. It wasn't like the form was bad. He was making good reads. It was a rough start to an extent. He was just shaking the rust off. But I see why Brad made the subs. Jaylen Brown out to start the second half. Tyler Zeller out to start the second half. Kelly Olynyk shakes the rust off. He comes out of the locker room to try to give them a lift. He plays Smart in the second half. He was actually one of their better rebounders. And then Marcus Smart was a no-brainer. I know it paid off huge in that quarter, but they really needed somebody to come in and light a fire defensively. And then he just happened to tack on a whole lot of offensive rebounds. And we'll get into the real indiscretionary move by John Wall to give kind of a shot to a head and a throwdown. We'll get to that in just a minute. But just a reminder, welcome to the Celtics post-game show. Our opening segment is powered by Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But with our promo code GARDEN, it will cost you just $389, and that's 50% off list. So go to their Boston showroom on Newberry Street to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as us. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an amazing experience. So go to Indochino.com, that's Indochino.com, and use the promo code GARDEN, or just stop by their Newberry Street location and mention Garden to get your made-to-measure suit and discount today. And I know on CLNS Radio, our good friend Jared Weiss is going to be sporting one of those Indochino suits pretty soon on the Garden Report, Nick. So good for him. I can't wait to see which one he picked out.
Yeah, the dude's got style already. So now he's going to be all primed up with his Indochino suit. I'm going to check it out. We're going to be up there next week, Justin. I'm going to go over to the Newberry Street store and get my fitting. I need a new suit. I've lost and gained and lost weight, so I need to get fitted. And I'm a short guy, you know, like I'm shorter than Isaiah Thomas. So it's hard to find clothes that fit.
You're shorter than Isaiah Thomas? I don't think so.
I'm the same height.
Nah,
I'm 5'9".
He's over.
5'7",
he's overlisted. I stood next to him. He's overlisted. I will tell you this. We are going to open up phone lines here in just a little bit as well. And so I'm sure it's lit. You know, everybody only has a certain level of patience for so long. And I do want to go, let's look back, okay? Because the last two games, Moutier lit this team up, and really he came out of nowhere. He had a really rough start to the season. The Washington Wizards needed a win. They're 1-5 on the year. So Otto Porter comes in and lights up the Celtics. But some of these performances are bizarre, and we can talk about excuses on the Celtics side due to injuries and Jay Crowder being out. But one by one, they're coming back. And I know Al Horford means a lot to this team, but he can't mean everything to this team. But the other one, then you look at that first matchup against the Chicago Bulls, and all of a sudden Rajon Rondo's raining threes, Dwayne Wade is raining threes, Butler's raining threes. These were things that should not have been happening. But how many anomalies are going to eventually say to us something is not right on the perimeter D? Because they did not have great interior defense in years past or recent years, and definitely last season, the bodies weren't there. I don't want to say that it was horrendous, but the front court has been a weakness. But we have all stars and all defensive, not all stars, all defensive players in Avery Bradley, and then Marcus Smart obviously being a tenacious defender. What is going on the perimeter that players are able to just find themselves wide open spots from beyond the arc to also just keep the floor spaced out against these Celtics?
Yeah, well, I think they're spacing the floor through hitting the shots. Why are they hitting the shots? I think it's a lack of communication from the front line watching the perimeter defenders' backs as picks are coming. And frankly, everybody's concerned about rebounding. So they're so concerned with trying to guard the glass that they're swinging the ball and getting the perimeter shooters open. It's just very frustrating. It's a trickle-down effect.
All right, we're going to open up these Movement Watches call lines. The toll-free number, 347-215-7771. Again, the number to reach us is 347-215-7771. And we'll tell you a little bit more about Movement Watches coming up here at the first break. But before that, Matt Rury is on the line joining us. We're going to bring him right in. Matt, it's getting a little gross, isn't it?
Ugh. Oh, gentlemen. Gelso, Bullen, boys, nice
Matt
to hear from you. You know, I'm glad that you guys are killing it, as you usually do. But listen, it's pretty rare that I call into a post-game show that I'm not on. You guys know that. And
yeah, you're
pissed,
man.
Listen, it's only when I get fired up about something, and I will throw the disclaimer out there that maybe I'm a little bit fired up about some of the events from yesterday as well, but for now, I will focus on the fact that the Celtics are not playing with any sort of intensity. The effort is not there. Basically, whatever Brad Stevens said to them at halftime of the Denver Nuggets game the other night should have been said every day, every hour to this team, because I just don't see the effort that was there in years past. Now,
Matt,
Justin,
Matt, Keep that thought. We've been doing this how many years? You know I'm big on, you know, body language, right? I'm going to criticize the coach's body language. Get the hell up off the bench and rail into these guys. Wake them up. You've got to get a little excited. I really like him. I like the composure. I like, you know, he's calm, he's cool, he's collected. But at some point, you've got to lose it. Go a little Gene Hackman in Hoosiers on these guys. Come on.
But Nick, these guys have been there before, and they need to know that they are part of the problem here. And yes, I agree with you. He does need to step up a little bit. And there have been times where I've said, why is he just sitting there? They're taking in a run right now from the other team. He needs to say something or do something or get a technical. It doesn't matter what he does. He needs to do something. But at the same time, the players are to blame as well. And I don't want to buy into excuses about injuries and things like that. Yes, two of your most prominent players on defense are out right now. I understand that. But the rest of you can give a little bit more of an effort. We saw it in the second half of the Nuggets game. I'm going to keep referring to that until I see it again. But they came out in that second half of that game on fire. The guards were guarding. They were pressing on defense. And, Justin, you just mentioned it a second ago. Where is the backcourt defense? We haven't seen it except for spurts. And this has been a problem with Brad Stevens' coach teams over the past few years, is that they don't play for a full 48 minutes, and he's the first one to tell you that. So,
which is Nick, why the depth,
again, there you go, one more point right there
team,
for you.
Right? The depth should be the reason that doesn't happen. They should be running the opponents out of the hole, right off the floor, right back into the locker room. They should be exhausted. Now, I get it. They're not going to be able to do that because some of the injuries that we are seeing. And you have young players like Terry Rozier, Jordan Mickey, and Jaylen Brown getting a lot of time. And while Jaylen had a very nice performance against the Cleveland Cavaliers and specifically LeBron James, that really hasn't carried over to the games following. And he was pulled after 3 minutes into the first quarter tonight. So still struggling, there's no doubt. But and every time I say struggling, I want to say it the right way, which is struggling. But there is an issue with the fact that some of these guys just don't know how to be consistent. And if you're not going to be consistent, then the effort has to be there. And what we saw tonight, and the reason I think Celtics Nation is going to be really lit after this game, and Twitter's already blowing up, and I know the phone lines are filling up as well. But if people have a reason to be lit about this game, it's the effort. If this was the Wizard of Oz, everybody would be wearing the Tin Man suit. Like, we can't even pick out a Dorothy or a lion. Everybody's got no heart right now, with the exception of Marcus Smart. You gotta take your hat off. He was the heart
for
and soul.
One quarter.
He was a total gamer for one quarter,
yeah.
But nobody else really matched that effort. And I'm even going to point a little bit at Isaiah Thomas. At some point, he has to get some criticism. I know he's putting points and assists on the board, but there's just something missing from his leadership.
Justin, I think that he actually has criticized himself a couple of times over the past week or so, and I know that he is a guy that wants to be that leader, and he wants to be the two-way player that most all-stars are, and right now he's mostly an offensive guy. But I think that it's been a different player every night for the Celtics so far that has stepped up and played well, and they need to find a way to come together as a team. And, Gelso, you know that I've been saying this for years, even when the team was bad. If the players go out there and they give the effort and they try really hard and they lose by 10 or 15, but you can see that they really want to win that game, Celtics fans are okay with that. Maybe they won't pay the money to go and sit in the stands and watch, but they are happy with the fact that whatever the roster is that Danny Ainge and the ownership has put out there, if they're playing hard, people have accepted that over the years, and I'm one of those proponents. I just want to see this team compete. I want to see them play well against other teams that are at their level. And, I mean, of course I want to see them win games, but as long as they're competing – I'm fine with the whatever the outcome is, and we just haven't seen that to start the season, and I think that's why I'm so fired up right now, guys.
Yeah, and compete for 40.
Do a great job.
Compete for 40 minutes. We don't even need the full 48 right now. Just compete for 40, and put on a good product. Well, you know what else
Wait
is funny?
How about just compete? And, just compete for the first 2 minutes of the first quarter. Like, can we start a quarter without going down 12 immediately?
Yeah, no,
you know,
it's ugly.
Come on. Yeah. It's ugly. Celtics blog just tweeted out a picture of Brad Stevens. He looks very, very emotionless, and there's a caption underneath saying screaming internally.
That's going to be the new meme. You just wait.
Yeah,
that's
going
to take right off. There'll be crying Jordan and stoic Stevens, right?
I love
stoic
it.
It'll be the new meme.
Oh, my God. Guys,
that's
move
great
to the next caller. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great
night.
Rory, right?
I'll see
so
you next helpful week, Rory. We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Good deal. There he goes.
All right. So the Movement Watches call lines, as a reminder, 347-215-7771. This is definitely the complaint call evening for Celtics fans.
Call.
You know what's crazy is the fact that the Washington Wizards, we thought the Atlanta Hawks couldn't get anybody out even in a playoff game, but the attendance in Washington
is
disgusting. And I'll tell you, because I'm out of New England, so I'm watching on the NBA.com League Pass app, and during halftime or during the breaks in the game, they have all the things that are happening in the stadium are actually what you watch instead of reports from Abby Chin and Scal and all of that. So one game that they played in Washington during the game was they had a fan and they gave him a camera and they had to find the Geico gecko in the stadium. And I just thought to myself, why would you put a camera in a fan's hand and have them scan around the stadium to show just how disinterested Washington, D.C. is in NBA basketball? I mean, talk
Dude
about just putting it right out there.
They were chanting, "Let's go Celtics." Their crowd was chanting, "Let's go Celtics." I mean,
but
the only thing missing
it
there was Lucky. I mean, they put a camera in a fan's hands.
Yeah, D.C. is a melting pot is the reason. You're going to run into that in some markets. I'm fine with that. They need more Celtics fans down there. They need them to turn out the way Red Sox fans turn out at Camden Yards for the Orioles.
Right. Hey, listen, I agree. Just especially after last night, you think people in D.C. would want to get their mind off what's going on all around them. Go to a ball game, man. You know, relax. Have a beer and a hot dog. Like, what the heck? The place was empty.
Yeah. Yep.
Empty.
It definitely was.
They said attendance was 12,300 and some. And that's less than the old Boston Garden, which sold out for, I think, 20 straight years or something. I mean,
yeah, and that attendance number is always sketchy. All right, let's fit in one more caller before we hit the top of the hour. We're going to go to AJ, who I'm sure – maybe you're going to talk us off the ledge, AJ, but
I have a
feeling you're probably going to hop right on the bandwagon.
Most likely, unfortunately. First off, thank you guys for having me on the air. I appreciate that. And I think we're all
in
the same place here. It's our little kumbaya moment we're going to have. But the first thing I'm going to point out is it's so shocking to me to see that this is the same team that last Thursday that lost by 6 points to the defending champions, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They did not have Horford. They did not have Crowder. So I don't understand how this same unit can go out there and not produce. And you hit the nail on the head. You know, I think IT or Thomas does deserve some of the criticism. I'm one of his biggest fans, as we all are as Celtics fans. But I noticed a couple things in him. The last game, there were about 2 seconds left in the game. He was already getting ready to walk off the court. Now, granted, he thought the game was over. That it just didn't seem like the Isaiah Thomas that was there rallying people up, kind of joining them, that glue to the team. And he's been making some really erratic decisions early on in the game that are leading to momentum shifts and changes. He's driving to the hole, which every person knows he's going to do, and he's kicking it out without looking, and he's turning it over, and it's leading to these swings of 5 to 10 points at a time.
Yeah. No, huge swings. Huge swings, and I think you made an amazing point about the Cavs game. This is the exact same lineup. As a matter of fact, they've gotten bolstered by having Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk return.
Exactly.
So there's actually even less of an excuse for them. And, you know, I almost wonder if there isn't like this – I don't want to say a sense of entitlement, because it's, I don't mean a sense of entitlement, but it's almost as if they thought that they could cruise to some wins against lesser opponents. They come out and then they just, you know, like what Kevin Garnett used to say, they're the bullies now because they're predicted to be top two, maybe three in the East. Now they're getting smacked in the mouth by some of these teams that have are in a position where they're really on their butts, and they need a big one. They absolutely need a big win, and they need to right their ship. And the Celtics are falling victim way too easily early in games, and specifically the first quarter, and specifically against the Nuggets and Wizards, two definitely lesser opponents that should not have had their way with this club.
Agreed. Absolutely. No, it's tough to watch. I do think that they will get things in the right direction eventually. It's early on, but the effort piece needs to be there because we are a hardcore fan base, and as long as we see that effort, then we'll stick around. We'll ride with them till the end. Absolutely.
Justin, you mentioned Kelly Olynyk like he was going to help the team, though. Like, he doesn't help the team. You mentioned Kelly Olynyk like he helps. He doesn't help.
Well, he didn't because he didn't knock down his three-pointers tonight, which once he gets his legs under him, it'll space things out. But he did actually gather some rebounds. If you look at the rebounding totals, he's right in the game. And he's atrocious anyway, but I think he did help. He helped better than Tyler Zeller did. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, this team could use a trade for front court help. I think we all know it. And we're all hoping that it's a big one. You know, an Anthony Davis, a DeMarcus Cousins, that's really what's going to get them over the top. They need an inside presence that can get some back-to-the-basket buckets when they really need them and keep that perimeter opened up so that the threes aren't always contested. To the beginning of right before tonight's game, they were the number one shooting percentage team in the league, and yet they were 3-3, which is amazing because last season they couldn't knock down a shot, but because of the way they performed on defense, we thought they might possibly have a chance at being a number one defense in the NBA for 2016-2017, and that's not the case. That's not what we're seeing at all right now. We're seeing all offense and no defense whatsoever. At some point, I think we're going to hit the law of averages on both of those scenarios. Crowder is a big loss defensively. He certainly helps out not only on the perimeter defense, but when they go small, he gives them some looks, and he can guard up against many of the fours, not all of them, but depending on matchups for the night, he can guard up on a four, and that helps immensely. But we've had two ankle injuries with Jay Crowder, one at the end of last season and one at the beginning of this season. Sometimes health is sort of goes along with it. I think when this team runs so hard like they do, then all of a sudden it starts to add up in the injury side of things. It would be nice to be able to slow the game down once in a while and go to the paint, and that option is not there for them right now.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And you're right. They do need that trade. They do need to be able to kind of have that low post presence that we've talked about for years now. They need someone to defend the rim, to be that guy who can rebound the ball and really kind of buckle down low. And they don't have that at the moment. So they really need to get on that now. Al Horford is someone who can be that guy, low post presence, but he's not going to be a grinder as much as a guy, say, like Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins would be. So those are still choices, obviously, more than Al Horford, but obviously missing Horford is making matters even worse.
Yeah.
What's making it tough, too, is, Justin, the Celtics are not even able to find a rhythm. Remember last season where they started 7-for-7? That front line changed lineups over and over and over. There was never an opportunity for continuity to build with one lineup, and we're seeing it again this year because of the injuries. So, you know, one guy's Marcus Smart comes back, Kelly Olynyk comes back, they're dribbling back, and it's going to take another period of adjustment to incorporate Al Horford into that equation because the Celtics never really got an opportunity to do that because of the concussion.
Yeah, and I don't like the way they ran preseason, but we're going to have to come back from break on that. AJ, we've got to hit the top of the hour, but thanks for the call, man. And hope to talk to you again soon on another postgame show.
Absolutely. Means a lot, guys. I appreciate it. You have a good night.
All right.
Thanks, AJ.
All right, we're going to head off to break. Jared's going to take us there. We'll be back And maybe we'll hit that topic when we come back, because I think the preseason, maybe we mismanaged the transition from first to second units, Nick.
I think so. You know, let's go to break and talk it over.
This is Jared Weiss from The Garden Report, and I am here to talk to you about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million, but with our promo code GARDEN, will cost you just $389. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay in Boston today to get fitted for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on The Garden Report Celtics post-game show. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an amazing experience, and we got an amazing, perfectly fitting shirt. So go to Indochino.com and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today. That's Indochino, Indochino.com, and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, internet radio pioneers and Celtics diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
I'm Jared Weiss, host of the Garden Report Celtics postgame show, which is the only full-length, high-definition postgame show shot in the Garden after every Celtics home game. I'm joined by a rotating crew of some of the best reporters covering the Celtics after every game. The Garden Report takes you inside the locker room with player and coach interviews in full high definition. So subscribe to the CLNS Radio YouTube channel by going to youtube.com/CLNSRadio to catch every episode of the Garden Report and every full-length coach and player press conference at each Celtics home game. You can also listen to The Garden Report and all the player interviews as a podcast by subscribing to The Garden Report on iTunes and Stitcher or by visiting the CLNS Radio app in the App Store.
Got the movement watch call lines wide open. 347-215-7771. And by wide open, I mean I have three people in queue. We're going to get to you right away. Again, the number to reach us, 347-215-7771. The phone lines are brought to you by Movement Watches. And while department store watches start at $400 to $500, the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken out the middleman and are passing that savings directly on to you. Movement Watches are slick, fashionable, and most importantly, affordable, starting at just $95. Go to MVMTWatches/Celticsbeat for 15% off your first order with free shipping. That's MVMTWatches.com/Celticsbeat. Nick, I'm wearing mine, and I love it. It's got kind of this black and white face with a tan leather strap. It's two-tone. I've joked on Celtic Stuff Live as well as on
the
most recent post-game show, that I look kind of like a hipster, except, you know, I am going to turn 42 in a few months, and I don't think I can qualify as a hipster at this point.
Just grow a beard. You know, stop shaving. It's No Shave November anyway, Justin. And you wear your Movement watch. You could be a hipster. Actually, these watches, they're great because they fill the casual field. And also, like, my watch looks great with jeans, but it also looks great with an Indochino suit. And I love it. I joined the movement. I know Jared Scally's going to. And, it's been good. I love the watch, man. I just wish I could love a Celtics win here. Come on.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's funny because Patrick Gilroy, who is one of the hosts here on the CLNS post-game show on ESPN New Hampshire 900 at 1250 AM as well, but he's also with ESPN New Hampshire. It's kind of how we linked this all up. And he stopped by my house yesterday to learn a couple of podcasting tricks and ways to record interviews when he's on the road, because like myself, he's a salesman, but he saw the watch and pointed it out right away. I don't even think he knew it was a movement watch. He was like, man, that's a cool watch. And I was, then he stopped for a second. He said, is that one of the movement watches? And I said, yeah, it is. It's like, oh, dude, I love that watch. So it really is an awesome watch. I couldn't be happier. But listen, Nick, before we went to the break, one of the things I started to tease was really the rotations in the preseason, because you made up a great point, which is as people go down for health or get healthy and come back in, it disrupts the chemistry. And yes, that can have an impact, especially on defense. Sometimes you have a player like Marcus Smart who can get back into the flow offensively just by creating their own shot. And while the Celtics don't have a lot of players like that, they certainly can see that happening. Whereas on the defense, they are struggling. And the players, as they integrate themselves, probably going to have a few more hiccups, to your point. However, during preseason, it was almost as if they were wholesale substitution patterns. The first five and then the second five. And when they practiced, we heard all about it, the first five and the second five. And I almost think that I understand continuity, but as soon as game one hit, there needed to be some sort of a transition. And look, this is nitpicky stuff, but you almost wonder if maybe they shouldn't have had that all work a lot more fluidly and seamlessly. And if it had, maybe there would be better chemistry going from first to second unit, or when there has to be wholesale substitutions into the starting lineup, such as somebody like Tyler Zeller, who I don't think deserves the starts at all. And I'm glad to see Kelly Olynyk back, because ultimately he matches up much better with Amir Johnson, especially when he's draining a three ball.
Well, and I think that's one thing that we as media fans have to look at the injury bug in a positive fashion. The only positive fashion to come out of it is that Amir has played, even take away the 4 3-pointers the other night, Amir has played well. He's filled in. I mean, he's played well starting from the beginning. So now you have KO back with Amir. Eventually, maybe it's probably going to be KO and Horford. And Amir is going to be groomed to come off the bench, which I think from the injury standpoint, Amir's had nothing. He had no choice but to step up, and he has.
Yeah. No, he has. But you know what? Talk about a tale of two seasons, and then we'll go to the call lines here in just a second. But Chris Forsberg from ESPN Boston just tweeted this out. Celtics now dead last in the NBA in defensive rating, defensive rebound percentage, and total rebound percentage. And heading into tonight's game, they were the leader in the league in field goal percentage. I mean, this is literally a photographic negative of last season, the performance that we're seeing to start out this year. And Sean Grandy even added to that and said, for perspective, last year the Celtics finished sixth in the NBA defensive rating, 100.9. But through the first 60 games, they were third. You know what the common denominator is in that stat from Sean that wasn't put out there?
What's that?
Jay Crowder. I think we underrate just how much Jay Crowder's importance is to this team. And when you heard trade rumors down the stretch last year and into the offseason about Blake Griffin and Jimmy Butler, at the heart of all of those conversations was Jay Crowder. And all we heard was how reluctant the Celtics brass were to include him in any kind of a deal. Maybe now we're seeing why.
Well, he brings not just the versatility, not just the added defense and offense, but also the intangibles, the hustle, the intensity in the style of play, the emotional intensity. I mean, I think just maybe in the preseason I said it, but he's nowhere near Kevin Garnett, but he can't parallel Garnett's intensity, because no one can. But he's a close there. He elevates the emotional interaction between the players and how they face the game. And we're not seeing that right now. The Celtics are playing, like I said, like a deer in headlights, are playing on the back of their heels. There's no intensity. And I think Jay Crowder, the injuries have sucked that right out of them. You guys, I heard you guys discussing Isaiah Thomas and his kind of inconsistency to lead lately. Isaiah Thomas gets frustrated very easily. And I don't know if you guys watched the CLNS Radio YouTube channel after the Denver game, but Isaiah was clearly dejected. And we saw this happen at certain points last season as well. So you need Crowder for that, not just the offensive and the defensive abilities and the versatility, but also the intangibles and the emotional uplifting and the intensity. The Celtics are lacking that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just add to it, the statistics that we just brought up support something that we're seeing with our eyes, which is that this season the team is trying to address that emotional pickup, that lift that they're looking for that you just described. They're trying to address it by performing offensively and not defensively. And when this team is good, what they do is get turnovers to generate offense. That goes back to the conversation with AJ, or maybe it was Matt Rury, but where's the perimeter defense? So we're going to go back to the call lines now. Sam in San Diego, just a great supporter of the show. We're going to bring Sam on. But Sam, maybe you may have something else you want to talk about. Well, what are your thoughts about the fact that the Celtics are not generating offense off of turnovers in this early in the season through seven games?
I haven't had a chance to look at it. I have no idea. I just know that they're not playing hard. I thought today, coming off of the last game, I almost wanted to bet on the game because I thought we were going to come out strong. I didn't think there was a chance we could come out the way that we did. And once again, we get punched in the mouth. What's worse is that because we're not playing defense, we can't even make a dent. I mean, we get down 20, 25 points, and you're thinking – it's early in the game. Maybe we can get it down to 10 by halftime and we can make a comeback in that second half. But we can't get past around 15, 16 points when they push it back up to 20.
Because they're not playing defense. Because they're not playing defense.
Right. Without defense, when you can play defense, you're always in the game, even when you get down 25, right? They can't do that right now at all. And what makes it worse, I think, is just we are so small, so we can't rebound either. So just when you think we might make a run, we lose a rebound. Sometimes it's due to lack of effort. Sometimes it's just due to size. But we are definitely getting pushed around out there. It feels like we're getting bullied around out there. And it's really hard to watch. I did want to say a couple other things, though. Justin, as far as being a hipster, I live in a hipster neighborhood, and they come in all ages. So
all shapes and sizes and ages.
Equal opportunity hipster.
Yes,
oh, that's great.
Equal opportunity. And Nick, I'm going up to Boston next week, see that Warriors game, and I was thinking that it was going to be an early season test for us, and instead the most likely scenario is the blowout, especially if we don't get Crowder, because I mean, if these teams are blowing us out, wait till we get Golden State's offense.
Yeah. Well, you're going to see Justin, too, because the three of us. So Justin will be up there, I'll be up there, and you'll be up there, Sam. And the Italian contingency is going to be up there. So the Celtics better do something. It's Justin, what do you think for Golden State? I mean, that looks 10 miles away right now.
It does look 10 miles away. It was such a – it's a week. And last season, it was almost a validation of how underrated the Celtics team was. And obviously they almost gave them the first loss of the year and wore them down enough that the very next game, I believe it was against the Milwaukee Bucks, that Golden State did finally roll over. But it was extremely competitive. And then in the only other matchup of the season, heading down the stretch into the playoffs, the Celtics were actually able to grab a win on the road. Based on the way they're performing right now, the fact that they haven't gelled, on the one hand, you say to yourself, I'm not sure how this team is going to be able to compete with Golden State, especially with the addition of Kevin Durant. But we only have to look to very recent past when the Los Angeles Lakers wound up upsetting Golden State. So there you go. It's certainly possible. Golden State is not exactly a well-oiled machine yet themselves. I'd still place bets on Golden State winning that game. I can't hard pressed to see the Warriors not be able to just shoot lights out from outside. If they can just get one of their three perennial 3-point shooters to knock some down that night, I think the Celtics are in trouble, especially because Draymond Green's probably going to own the rebounding department yet again, which is clearly been an identified weakness. I think that's the understatement of the year. I'm more interested in the Dallas game. I remember last year that this team struggled with more nights off. We're almost seeing it again this year. There's a lot of time in between games right now, and I'm not sure that's the best thing for the Celtics. I think the second night of back-to-backs was when they did their best in the early going last year, and to a point from earlier about Cleveland and how well they played, even though they lost and didn't have Horford and didn't have Crowder, because Crowder got hurt a week ago tonight in the matchup against the Bulls, but the performance was strong. That was the second night of a back-to-back. So I almost wonder if maybe some of that theme is playing out this year as well.
As you're saying that, though, think about where the Celtics might be injury-wise without the time in between games. Going back to that Chicago game, the first night of the back-to-back that played into Cleveland, you had, obviously, Olynyk, Horford out, but you also had Avery Bradley with a re-aggravated shoulder. You had Isaiah Thomas banged up.
But Nick, you'd be right where you are today. It's not like they're scraping by wins with the extra time off.
But you might be right where you are today with more injuries, is what I'm saying.
Nah, I don't think so. I think you got to let the training staff deal with the injuries, and the players got to play. It's not like they're not having practices, and it's not like those practices aren't intense for those extra days.
Right. Where's that Celtics beat commercial? Did you just mention training staff?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Larry H. Russell just loves to criticize the training staff.
He just rolled over in his sleep. He just did.
Here's something else that's crazy, and I know Brooklyn, the Nets, played a game tonight. I don't have the result right in front of me, but heading into this game, the Brooklyn Nets were 3-4. What is the Celtics record right now? If this keeps up, and it won't, believe me, everything will settle out. It really will. There's reasons for optimism, but we also have reasons to criticize the effort of the team despite the injuries. But if this were to keep up, there might not even be an opportunity to swap picks.
Well, regardless, I think those picks are up for grabs, because though Brooklyn is not a good team, they're not nearly as bad of a team as they were last year. Do you agree? I think those picks are up for grabs. And my question to you is, you know, this is your 30th year covering the Celtics, Justin, on internet radio. Before the internet, you were covering the Celtics on internet radio. So all this time, When with putting everything you know about this team, the past and the present, when does Danny Ainge really – do you think he's actively right now looking for a personnel move as we speak?
I think he's always looking for a personnel move as we speak. It's not like – listen, there's a reason he has, you know, the nickname Trader Danny, right? It just didn't come out of the blue, but – he's only going to do a deal that makes sense. And those picks, yeah, they're up for grabs, but only under the right circumstances. If you're talking about packaging them with Jay Crowder, which was essentially the meat of the conversation
for Butler
and for Blake Griffin, people don't realize how intense those – I know Doc Rivers shot it down in the offseason, but I'm telling you that those Blake Griffin talks were far more serious and potentially, I don't know this
Justin,
for sure, but potentially ongoing.
You said it, the season finale of last year's, I think it was the playoff run, you hosted it. I think you hosted it alone. I ran the switchboard, and you said it at that point. There are talks for Blake Griffin as we speak. You knew that.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. It's definitely been a discussion point.
Yeah, but what trade are they going
to
get done?
To shoot it down.
Justin, what trade are they going to get done? Danny only does trades when he likes to fleece people, and the league knows that. The league's not going to be able to he's not going to be able to do as much as he wants because the league's kind of on high edge after what he did to Brooklyn.
Yeah, and rightfully so. And so to your point, you know, they may have to give up an extra pick here or there. Here's the problem. We've already seen R.J. Hunter go to Chicago. They've got two draft and stash players overseas that actually may be able to contribute, probably closer to end of the bench, but in a maybe in the rotation sooner than later. It depends, because they both are front court players, and it's definitely a weakness for this club. And then you even have, you know, the Red Claws are going to kick it off next Friday night, or no, this Friday night, sorry, in just two nights. But you've got Abdul, come on, help me out here. But he was another draft pick, and it was a stateside draft and stash. Nader, Abdul Nader. So they've got a lot of picks and a lot of players. They might be willing to overpay to some extent. They didn't pick up the option on James Young, so he may be a casualty in the offseason. I'm not saying that all of these players have established, you know, and deserve to be on this roster, especially not over a high Brooklyn pick that maybe could be top 3 to 5. But at the same time, when you look at, you know, all of these assets, at some point they're going to have to make a move, or they're going to get diminishing returns anyway. So why not throw in an extra pick here and there? The issue is this: they can't give up a core piece to the championship puzzle. And the second thing is that they can't, that they have to get somebody back who's a true impact player. And so that impact player doesn't always show up, to your point. And then a lot of times you got to give up more than just picks. So one thing, and it will break my heart if it happens, but one thing we need to maybe see if we're going to look for a deal like that and Danny's going to execute it, is a player like Jaylen Brown to
it's coming.
Just continue to grow. But it would break my heart. I really envision the future of Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown together. But you know what? We got to go to break real quick. We can come back and talk about that. We can talk about Jaylen Brown a little bit and whether or not he is even going to be on this roster in 3 years. It's a good debate because fans are falling in love with Jaylen. We'll be right back after this. My boy.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it. So we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show to the Garden Report to CSL and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher, and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
This is Jared Weiss from The Garden Report, and I am here to talk to you about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million, but with our promo code GARDEN, will cost you just $389. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay in Boston today to get fitted for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on The Garden Report Celtics postgame show. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an amazing experience, and we got an amazing, perfectly fitting shirt. So go to Indochino.com and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today. That's Indochino, Indochino.com, and use the promo code GARDEN to get your made-to-measure suit today.
Hi, this is Larry A. Trussell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
All right, CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. You're listening to the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show, streaming live on CLNSradio.com, as well as ESPN New Hampshire 900 and 1250 AM. A partnership we are extremely excited about there in the Granite State. ESPN New Hampshire 900 and 1250 AM. This is really pioneering stuff, taking our internet broadcast, live call-in post-game show over the airwaves, just combining the best of new media and established airwaves radio. Score of the game tonight, 118-93. The Celtics fall to the Washington Wizards on the road. And really just a lackluster effort. We're taking your complaints. You can check them in at 347-215-7771. That's the Movement Watches toll-free call-in. And also, I'm just going to throw out some Twitter handles because we're all very active on Twitter. You can follow me, my handle, at @CSL_Justin. You can follow Nick at @CLNS_Nick. And Jared, why don't you just chime in real quick? Jared, behind the glass tonight, what's your Twitter, Jared?
It is at JScalRadio18.
So make sure you're following us on Twitter as well as the entire CLNS Radio Network at CLNS Radio on Twitter. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/CLNSFans. We've got Alan from Titletown on the line. And I think, Alan, we're going to be seeing you next week as well for the game. I think it's the Mavericks game because the last time that I did this show, Patrick Gilroy was the lead and I was in the analyst role, and Pat brought in some tickets to give away. And I believe you were the winner, chicken dinner. Am I right?
Absolutely. Live from Cleveland, scored me some free tickets on the back end of a loss to the Cavs. So it kind of salvaged the night a little bit. But, yeah, good stuff. Free tickets, really excited. But I just want to talk about tonight and just in the past two games overall. We've gone into the season with high hopes of being a top-tier level defense. I think we ranked like 29th in defense right now. And we have given up in the past two games, back-to-back games, career high in points to a mediocre young player. Back-to-back games with Emmanuel Mudiay, 30-plus points, and tonight Otto Porter, 34 points. Back-to-back games. And this is a small forward and guards, and that's where our defensive strength usually is with, you know, A.B. Bradley, Marcus Smart, unfortunately, Crowder. I mean, he wasn't playing in these two games. And going to the Crowder injury and the Horford injury, you look at their stats, like, from, like, the season. It's a small sample size. And it's not, like, overwhelming, like, stats. And you kind of like, oh, you know what? We can get by without these two guys for a couple games. You know, we definitely weren't going to beat Cleveland. But you kind of looked at it and you said, we can beat Denver. We can beat Washington. All right, we're a split. You know, one game on the road, one at home. You should at least be able to split those games. But getting crushed is actually now you're starting to really see is the Jay and Al – they're that important to this team, whether it shows up on the stat line, points, rebounds, assists, or whatever, just like their leadership. Because I see no leadership on the court. Isaiah, I don't see him as a leader. Yeah, he's taking a lot of blame out to his losses, and he needs to play better. It's on him. But no one out there has any edge. Like, tonight, I wanted Marcus Smart. I wanted him to pop John Wall in the face. Show some sort of fight. Let's win something tonight.
Let's win some KO. You know, you're bringing up a good point. It's almost as if they're too patient. And even watching Marcus Smart be able to control himself as well as he did, I don't want to say it. Listen, we want our players to act in a respectable manner. We don't need any Ron Artest into the stand scenarios. But at the same time, you make a good point. Where's the fight? Because other than Marcus Smart, there was really no fight on the court, and he was even able to restrain himself after a pretty egregious flagrant two. That's the second game in a row that John Wall's been thrown out. So this is a guy who was really
– it looked like they're going through the motions too. Like, it looked like they just defensively just didn't care, and that's unfortunate because that is the identity of this team. So it sucks to watch them go like that. And like you said, Alan, too, I was hoping Marcus Smart would pop him in the face. Like, you know, like this guy, and everyone here knows I'm a huge Marcus Smart supporter and I'm a big fan of the guy. But this team needs to show that identity that they came to preach at the beginning of the season. They claim they're this defensive juggernaut, and that's how they're going to win these games. They're not doing anything. They're not playing aggressive. Right. They're not playing our defense.
Right.
They're going through motion.
And I know it's like rebounding is the biggest thing. Getting killed on the offensive glass, it's mind-boggling. And I know it's, okay, we're not big. I get it. We don't have Horford, who's not a great rebounder, as is Amir. He sometimes brings energy, but he's not a volume rebounder. Olynyk, he might as well have a bag of cotton balls out there. He doesn't even get any rebounds unless it falls in his lap. It's like he's so soft. And we need, and A.B. Bradley has been like our best rebounder at 6'2". I mean, it's, and I know it's not a skill thing either. It's not a skill. It's a want. You know, you find the nearest player to you, you put your ass in their waist, you box them out, and then you go get the freaking ball. It's pretty
high
simple,
school
actually.
Basics. Yeah, it's high school basics. And to your point about Opie going off like he did against the Celtics tonight, it would have been almost more acceptable if it was just continued rebounding issues with Horford out and Kelly just getting back in the groove. And, you know, maybe that Taj Gibson type of performance where you get eaten alive inside. I mean, Gortat actually had a lot of offensive rebounds, but so did Obi. I mean, there was plenty of offensive rebounds that came from the guards as well. And really, they just needed to box out. I mean, Jared, I don't know what your feelings are on the front court, but I just think
we need some girth.
Yeah, we need a body.
We need a big body there.
We need like.
I am
we,
not.
Are we missing Sellinger's wide keeps right now?
I was just about to say you're missing his rear end. You're missing Jared Sellinger right now.
I mean, his one rear end is wider than Horford, Kelly, and Amir's all combined.
But guess what? We would be missing Jared Sellinger's butt anyway because he's injured. Like, he's right in the theme of we can't stay healthy to win games.
And so we're complaining about him at the same time, too. So.
I mean, I still complain about Kelly Olynyk, too, and he was hurt for a while, so fit right in.
But something needs to be done. Like I'm going to the game Friday. Like, I'm not even excited for it. What am I excited to go there for? What? To pay $45 to park, pay my admission there, to get some food, to see the Pawtucket Celtics not show up?
Pawtucket Celtics.
I mean, that's what it looks like. There's no one's diving on the floor. There's no effort. I mean, Riley and Isaiah, they're scoring all good and well, but no one gives a rat's ass on the court. Like, no one's mad. No one's pissed off. No one's, like, taking control. Like, I want to see, like, after the play, like, Isaiah grab all the guys in the paint and, like, say, like, let's get it going. Like, I don't see it. Like the camaraderie, like, the teamwork, it's like, they look like a new team. Like they've just been assembled, like, last week.
You're right, Alan, for sure. Oh, yeah, you're definitely right. It looks like they're playing basketball, like a playground ball. All they care about is their self. Who do you look at to take the charge here? Who do you think is primarily responsible for the on-court leadership?
I mean, usually it goes to your best player, which is Isaiah. You know, he's your Nike guy. He wants to stand at South Station, pick me last again. Well, now you have to own it. You want all this attention. You got the big Nike deal. You know, you want to back the Brinks truck up when it's your time for free agency. You got to own it, or at least own it until Crowder and Horford come back. Because I feel Jay is the emotional leader. He's the stabilizer. He's the kind of guy who, you know, he locks down on defense. He guards the other team. He would have guarded Porter tonight. He would have guarded LeBron. He guarded Moutier last game because he plays what guard, point guard. But
yeah,
it's got to be Isaiah right now. He's has to be the guy. I mean, it's not Amir Johnson. It's not Marcus Smart. He's not level-headed enough. Avery Bradley is the quiet assassin. It's not him. It's not going to be Jarepko or Kelly. It's got to be Isaiah, and it's got to be a combination of him and Jay when Jay gets back.
Yeah, and I think we need Jay Crowder to come back. And we talked to Joe Sway here on the pregame show on ESPN New Hampshire, and me and Patrick Gilroy did, and he was talking about not expecting him back for a few weeks, if not more than that, into mid-December. So I think that's what he was hearing in the locker room. So it's definitely intriguing. But I think Jay Crowder's got to be a big presence.
And can we talk about Horford? He got a concussion 9 days ago. The NFL guys come back, not all of them, but most come back in a week. When do you get hit with a sledgehammer, a ladder fall on his head? What happened? 9 days. You're playing basketball. What's going on? Get him on the court.
And it's concerning that he hasn't come back yet. It's concerning that he hasn't been able to pass these protocols.
He's not even making the flights. He's sitting at home collecting game checks, not playing. I mean, I get it. I know it's a big thing, concussions, but you see it constantly every week with the NFL, and there are guys get injured on a concussion on a Sunday, and then their game time decisions playing Thursday night with the concussion. So it's kind of like, what's the protocol? What's going on here? But
yeah, no, it's just totally bizarre, man. It's like it's this innocuous slight hit to the side of the head in a practice, not a game, right? Do we want to pull up the AI quote? Not a game, but practice.
I am not
criticizing Al Horford for this. This is league protocol. It spins off all of the concerns that we've heard from the NFL. I mean, it isn't a joke. There are definitely NFL players who have serious ALS-like symptoms that they're going to wind up saying is its own syndrome. You don't want to mess with that. You only play until not even the age of 40. Like, if I was an NBA player, I would have already retired unless I was Ray Allen. I would still be pretending to retire for another couple of months. But at the end of the day, this is not something to mess around with. It's the league's protocol. It is what it is. But it is also very scary because I don't think I've ever seen this situation in the NBA before where it lingers like this. Maybe somebody going on concussion protocol, but not where it has just stayed. I would like more details about how he got hit because maybe it wasn't just a slight hit. Maybe he really did take a hard shot, but it was in a practice, and so nobody has it on film to really go back and look at it like we would be ad nauseum in a game with the replay.
All right. And, hey, guys, just one more quick thing before I give my wife some attention here. Jordan Mickey from the Celtics, he reached out to us wanting a shirt from us. So we designed him an Air Jordan Mickey Mouse esque shirt with the custom logo below the image. He wanted some shirts for us. We asked, hey, is it cool? We showed this shirt to our fans on social media. They liked it. Some people wanted to purchase it. Would it be okay if we make the shirt for you, but also provide it for sale for the public? He agreed that was cool. Go for it. I like the idea of it. So we have a new Air J Nick t-shirt on sale right now and on our web store, TitletownApparel.com. They come in black and green and white and green. So check it out on the TitletownApparel.com and follow us on Twitter at We Are Titletown and on Instagram, Titletown Apparel. So get on there, check out the new shirt. We're doing pre-orders now. We'll have them probably shipped out by next week.
Nice, Alan. Absolutely. I want a pair of those sandals, too. So we're going to have to, dude, you got to follow me on Twitter, CSL_Justin. Hit me up with a direct message, and maybe I can get some pre-order there, and I'll promote the heck out of it. Alan, have a good one, man. Thank you. We're going to head to break. When we come back, I know we have at least one more caller on the line. We're going to be wrapping up the CLNS post-game show here on CLNS Radio and ESPN New Hampshire. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
I'm Jared Weiss, host of the Garden Report Celtics postgame show, which is the only full-length, high-definition postgame show shot in the Garden after every Celtics home game. I'm joined by a rotating crew of some of the best reporters covering the Celtics after every game. The Garden Report takes you inside the locker room with player and coach interviews in full high definition. So subscribe to the CLNS Radio YouTube channel by going to youtube.com/CLNSRadio to catch every episode of the Garden Report and every full-length coach and player press conference at each Celtics home game. You can also listen to The Garden Report and all the player interviews as a podcast by subscribing to The Garden Report on iTunes and Stitcher or by visiting the CLNS Radio app in the App Store.
You're listening to the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show, streaming live on CLNSradio.com as well as ESPN New Hampshire 912.50 AM. Just a reminder, in case you didn't know, because if you're still listening, you definitely know because you're listening out of anger. The Celtics fall in Washington, D.C. to the Wizards 118-93, a game in which the fan base finds itself questioning the effort in the early goings of the season for this, your Boston Celtics, with expectations being extremely high for this season. So high, in fact, that some people said they'd supplant Toronto and maybe even give Cleveland a legit run. Many people boiling it down to as simple as we're one LeBron James injury away from being the Eastern Conference Finals. I'll tell you what, right now, we're a whole lot of things away from being in the Eastern Conference Finals for certain. We're going to go right back to the phone lines. We've got one more caller we're going to fit in before we wrap to close out the hour. But Nick Sesento, who is often behind the glass whenever Jared is not, is always ready in the wings. And it's just so funny because without Evan Turner, Nick, whatever do we talk about? It's your shtick. He got moved. He got let go.
Well, without Evan Turner, it seems like this team has problems moving the ball. It seems like this team has problems rebounding. It seems like this team has problems doing a whole lot of things, although I don't really think that the lack of Evan Turner or the non-presence of Evan Turner is the cause for that. I think there's a whole lot bigger litany of problems with this team that, you know, Evan Turner would have only been, you know, one small piece of that. I think for the salary that Evan Turner is getting paid out there in Portland, and I don't think he's doing all that well from the few, you know, box scores that I've looked at and his averages that I've looked at out there. He's given, you know, us basically what Al Horford gave us in his first three games with the Celtics, about, you know, 12 points, 5 rebounds, and close to 5 assists. I mean, that's Al Horford's stat line, and that's what Evan Turner basically gave us when he was here. So, I mean, no use in talking about a player who's no longer with us and who doesn't do much for us, but, I mean, there's definitely a lack of something on this team. This team needs something. I think you guys have acknowledged that. I hear, you know, I've heard talk throughout the show about a trade, the necessity of a trade, and I think the last show that I did with Matt Rury and Patrick Gilroy, we talked about what the Celtics might need in a trade, and I think it's obvious that we need a big man that can rebound and that can defend the rim when our perimeter defense breaks down as it did tonight, and we just don't have that. My question, though, is who gets traded? because
yeah, okay, perfect. Because Nick, you're reading my mind. We teased it earlier. We never came back to it, and here you are making sure that we cover all our bases before we close out the show. Because I'm telling you, the first person on that list is going to be Jaylen Brown. And as much as I have been in his camp, I don't think I have loved a player so quickly and so thoroughly since Al Jefferson, who was obviously moved for Kevin Garnett. And I said so on Twitter about 2 or 3 days ago. Jeff Clark from Celtics blog fired back and said, yeah, well, you know, that's how I felt about Al Jefferson back in the day. And I think a lot of people did. See, Comcast Sportsnet did a little bit of a poll at that time, and the fan base was adamantly against trading Al Jefferson for anyone, including Kevin Garnett. But we see how that worked out for the team. I think at the end of the day, you're talking one or two, likely just depends on the player that's coming back. Probably both, but definitely one of those Brooklyn picks, maybe one of the other first-round picks like that Clippers conditional pick, and Jaylen Brown is the starting conversation. They may also want one of the guards. You typically hear the fan base saying Avery Bradley, yeah, we could put him in it because then we keep Marcus Smart, but Jay Crowder is constantly at the centerpiece of those conversations with other teams. We all know it, and it's a sticking point. The club doesn't want to get rid of him. They want to make sure that he's a part of the championship. It's not hard to see why. He's that swing, that 3-4 that can give Brad Stevens so much flexibility with the lineup. So let me ask you, Nick, would it break your heart if Jaylen Brown was included in a deal?
I happen to like Jaylen Brown as a player. Would it break my heart if we traded Jaylen Brown for a position of need such as, you know, a center that can block shots and grab rebounds, not necessarily even have to score all that much, but they can, you know, protect the rim and they can grab rebounds? Not necessarily as much as I like Jaylen Brown. Again, the question is, you know, do other teams value Jaylen Brown that much that we're going to get a player like that in return for him? And if we were going to make that trade, why didn't we make that trade before we drafted Jaylen Brown, when that pick was actually worth more than, when the pick was actually worth its max? That's normally when picks are worth more, when before they're traded, before they're drafted, so that the other teams can get to choose who they want at that position rather than taking what we give them. And the question that I have, if we trade Jaylen Brown, is that leaves us at a real disadvantage when it comes to wing players, especially wing players with length. What are we going to continue to play Marcus Smart at the three? That's all right for, you know, situational rotations and situational, you know, certain situations, but we can't depend on Marcus Smart at the wing. And who else do we have to play the wing besides Jay Crowder, who's injured right now? And I mean, if our bench becomes, or if our rotation becomes Jay Crowder, and then who? I mean, we got rid of R.J. Hunter, and then we have James Young, who does absolutely nothing for us. Who else is the wing player that we have that's going to, you know, take that spot? Gerald Green, old man Green? I mean,
now, you can't trade him. So, Nick, real quick, because we're going to wrap the show in a couple of minutes here.
Sure.
Let me ask you one other thing. All right, so let's put it out that way, but now let's go another direction. Let's say we package a couple of guards. Maybe even it's Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas in one of those picks. And then instead of shoring up the front court, they try to bring in somebody like Russell Westbrook, which I don't think is available anymore and is not going to happen. But are you vehemently opposed to moving a player like Isaiah Thomas? Because, you know, to date, he has seemed like the emotional sort of heart, spiritual leader of this franchise, you know, the underdog kind of undersized player that motivates everybody. But right now, there's a leadership gap.
There's a leadership gap, but I don't know. I mean, Russell Westbrook is kind of one of those players that goes for dolo. He does what he does for himself. He's kind of like, he wants to be the top dog and everybody else around him is there. And I don't really think that's Brad Stevens' type of system. And I don't know if that really works when you have other players around like Al Horford. If he was going to make, you know, a move like that, why even make the move for Al Horford? I think we have Al Horford here. We have Isaiah Thomas in the preseason. We saw what they could do in the pick and roll game, in the pick and pop game. There was definite excitement about
all
what
right.
they could possibly do.
Nick,
think what should have happened was put other players in the front court around Al Horford like he asked for, like he desired, a player that could play the center position, that could grab some rebounds for him
and Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins. Nick, we got to go. We're wrapping up.
Alrighty.
We literally have 1 minute to close out the show. Good thoughts. I agree. A front court, a center, somebody to work the boards and let Horford space the floor is exactly what this team needs.
Trade Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Trade Marcus Smart. I'm with you.
Woo.
No.
That's a hot take. I'm an absolute no on that.
Right there with you, Justin. Right there with you.
Trade him.
Jared, Nick Gelso, what are your final thoughts as we're wrapping up the show?
I'm all fine for trade Marcus Smart, but to keep this short and sweet, I think the Celtics need to get healthy. They need to get a couple games under their belt with their roster. These are all the obviouses. Until then, they just need to play hard and with heart. They got to play with the grit this team was built on 2 seasons ago that had them ranked at number 2 or 3 in the Eastern Conference this season. That's my closing thoughts, boys.
All right, Jared, how about you before we say goodbye to ESPN New Hampshire? I know we're heading out in just a little bit, but or maybe I'll just say thanks to ESPN New Hampshire, 912:50 a.m. We're going to continue and close out just the last 4 or 5 minutes of this show, but really honored to be able to partner with ESPN New Hampshire and bring this out over the airwaves to the Granite State, and I want to thank everybody out there for listening to the show.
Perfect. Okay. Bye, ESPN.
later.
Final thoughts, I think, for me, guys, are more just this team needs to figure out how to play aggressively when they're down guys. You know, when they are injured, they are not have full strength here. They're going through the motions. You know, they're going through the motions of defense. I said earlier, I don't think they're going all out on defense. I don't know why, but it seems like they just haven't figured out how to play grit. Gritty right now, which is crazy considering that's the identity of this team, and I'm intrigued to see what happens, what happens come Friday night.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big testing point. I don't know that they can get any lower. I think we all thought that the Denver Nuggets game was the wake-up call game, but then it wasn't, because here we are having the wake-up call game conversation again. So how far down is the floor? When do we bottom out here? We've already fallen through the floor in many respects. I know it's early. I know it's only 7 games. I know we should temper, you know, our opinion, you know, temper our expectations a little bit. There's 75 more games in the season. It's obvious, plenty of time to right the ship. But at the same time, it just seems to me that fundamentally, that excuse, they're in a different position now. They need to alpha up. When we talk about leadership, this is a conversation that's been going on Twitter while we've been doing the show, but it's like, all right, the leadership has to come from Isaiah or Jay Crowder. Horford and Avery Bradley are more that, yeah, they're leaders on the court in terms of like directing traffic and communication in some respects,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking about locker room leadership. We're talking about time to man up, boys, leadership. And
mm-hmm.
Brad Stevens has done a ton of that, but the problem is that these players have now sort of gotten respect. And now that they have respect, I think people aren't sure what they want to do, you know, in terms of, how they interact with each other. I don't think there is an alpha anymore.
Right now, there's not.
No.
But,
all right. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back on Friday. This post-game show will be available for on-demand listening by searching for the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. Follow CLNS on social media at CLNS Radio on Twitter and like us at facebook.com/CLNS fans. Also, big shout out to ESPN Radio New Hampshire. It's www.ESPNRadioNH.com and at ESPNNH on Twitter /ESPN New Hampshire on Facebook. Today's show brought to you by MVMT Watches. That's MVMTWatches.com /Celtic Speed, where you'll get 15% off. Got a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Music provided by Joshua Morse. And I want to thank today's callers and everyone who tuned in. For CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, Program Director, that's me, Justin Pullen, my co-host tonight, who is the founder of CLNS Radio Network, Nick Gelso. I'm Justin Pullen. We'll see everybody back here on Friday for the next game, and let's hope it's a win for the Celtics.
We're out of here.